It's time for the Pestrogen Podcast with your hosts, Jenny and Candace.
Welcome back, all my pretty pesties everywhere. I know you've missed us, but we're back with another episode of the Pestrogen Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Candace. Alongside with me, as always, is the beautiful lady in blue, Miss Trio Ladybug, Jenny. How are you doing, girl?
Hi, beautiful. I'm doing good. I've had a long 2 weeks, and that's been as long as y'all have heard from us, but
yes.
I went to a termite class, and then I went to a convention, the AAC convention in Syracuse, Indiana, which was amazing, but I'm tired from traveling and peopling, and I was just so happy to kill a bunch of yellow jackets today and be home.
I got to do that today too, surprisingly.
Yeah. How you doing, pretty lady?
Doing good. Yes, it has been a very long 2 weeks. I had a short week-ish last week because we had to go to CEUs. Found out some very fun stuff. Got to meet Alex Shelby in person. I love him to death. He's the best. He's so much fun. He's so fun. Listening to him argue with people in the CEUs because some dude decided he wanted to tell him to shut up. And I'm like, dude, I can barely hear him, and I'm sitting closer. And then he just snapped back. I was like, ooh. But yeah, and we spent about 2 hours after the CEUs. It was me, Brandon, him, another cheesebag, Travis. I can't pronounce his last name. It starts with a K. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. And another gentleman that's been doing this for like, God, I think he said, like, his dad started it in, like, the 50s or 60s, and then he took over, but he's in Eastern Oregon, and he only does rodents for, like, the big farms and everything out there, but he's retiring literally December 31st, but he's like, I'm keeping my license so I can, you know, help people, blah, 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 but he was a really nice guy, super cool, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a blast. After the CEUs, during them, they're just boring. Except seeing, you know, one of the gentlemen put, like, you know, for all of your internet stuff to find, they had Tales from the Crawl Space on there. I immediately had to snap a picture and send it to Jack. I was like,
yes!
Dude, look!
Yes! That is amazing. I love it.
And then Brad felt left out because I didn't send it to him. He had to go find it in PCHD. And I was like, dude, I have Jack's phone number. I texted it to him. I didn't message it to him. I texted it to him. I don't have your phone number. What do you want me to do?
That's great. Well, hey, we have a guest today. Actually, round two.
Trying this again.
Thank you so much, Dylan. How are you today?
I am fantastic and no problem.
Yay.
It's cool to hear you guys out killing yellow jackets today. All I killed today was a box of Kraft dinner, so I'm doing awesome.
Hey, yeah.
I'm going to be killing some waffles and bacon here soon.
Solid.
I'll be going to bed.
Yes.
That sounds earned.
I'm in the future. Okay.
Jenny's future.
But, yes, and our topic tonight is first season, which Dylan is closing out his first season.
Absolutely. It was a busy one. Steep learning curve, lots of fun, really enjoyed it, but it is nice to have a break.
Yes.
I hoped not to have a break in the form of unemployment, but on to the next, you know.
That's right.
That's all you can do, man. Can't sit and dwell.
Exactly.
You have your license. You know you enjoy doing this. Somebody will pick you up somewhere.
Exactly. Yep. I'm being very, very out there and just kind of door knocking at this point, reaching out to all the medium-sized companies as well and seeing who's looking. I know, I don't know if it's the same where you guys are, but I know up here we've got like a core license, and then you get your category licenses on top of that once you've completed the core examinations. And it seems one of the things I learned this year is that a lot of guys struggle to get past the core exams. Mm. So there's a lot of guys out there working with their core exam where they're technically an independent assistant. But when licensed guys show up, they tend to make space to get the fully licensed guys in. So,
yeah,
reasonably optimistic.
Good. That's and so awesome. You yeah. are, yeah, you're fully licensed then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah, you can just elbow your way through there. Like,
that's the idea. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
So, because I know previously we had gone over all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
But our old recording software just sucked if nobody saw Jenny's announcement about it. That's why we're trying this again. So bring us back to the start of this. When did you start in pest control?
Yes, I started in March. Got my license done at the beginning of March and started pretty much right away. Wasn't looking for pest control. Like, I didn't, definitely didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to go kill stuff today. But saw an advertisement. Company was looking for, they were advertising for seasonal techs. When I talked to them on the phone, it was full time. They said, yep, we'll pay to get your licensing done. Honestly, it sounded too good to be true. My sales brain was going into it, expecting it to be like Kirby vacuums or something. But it was all pretty legit. From when they hired me to writing my exams, I had a week, I think. So it all was just super quick. Wrote the exams and off I went. And then, yeah, I don't know. So I started early March. I think we'd spent a week in training. We were riding around, which looked like riding around with the manager in his truck. And kind of, there was four of us that they onboarded. So we'd all service the houses together. He'd give us pointers. And then we were out on our own.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you said your sales brains. What were you doing prior to pest control?
Before pest control, I worked for private colleges. Sorry to take a side quest here, but am I the only one hearing buzz?
Yeah, that's. I think it's Jenny.
I'm moving my phone. Okay. Okay.
That's no, see how like
awesome, like, awesome.
When I wasn't talking. Or see how, like, when you guys aren't talking, you're not lit up and purple. Well, mine's purple. I don't know if yours is. But see, like, Dylan's was lit up. Mine wasn't. Jenny's was. So I was like, because I know your phone has fucked it up before.
Yeah.
So I was like, move your phone.
I was taking a picture. Okay.
Sorry for that. I thought maybe my stuff was broken. So.
Nope.
What did you just ask me? The ADD is strong today.
What you were doing
prior.
What
was it? What I was doing before.
Yeah.
So I worked in private colleges, and my job was essentially to turn used car salesmen into human beings. So private colleges up here, it's a little bit different education here in the States because we have a lot of publicly funded schooling. And then there are for-profit schools that do, generally speaking, shorter programs. And they enroll with a sales team, kind of like, you know, Donnie and Marie door knockers. And so my job was for a national college to train those guys, teach them how to deal with kind of more vulnerable populations. And then once they were trained, I managed them, not quite from coast to coast, but for a pretty huge territory. So it was, you know, it was good money and it was, you know, never got bored, but just needed a change, right? Like sales adjacent to anything, if you're not the right kind of person, eventually just eats your soul.
And oh,
that's
yeah.
That's where I got, so.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, like, how you were saying pre-show, like how your dad did the same job for his whole life.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. Like, I've done, like, you know, working at food places, working in retail, you know, like Walmart and stuff like that. And then this. And so it's, like, all different kinds of stuff, and I even have a degree for medical assisting.
Yeah,
never actually went into it, but it's like I couldn't imagine just doing one like type of thing forever, like sales forever.
No, I get no so other... bored. Get right? so bored. Right, it's one of the things I love about pest control is even though we're doing the same stuff over and over again, like every site's a little bit different. The parameters of the problem change. You still have to kind of think it through from start to finish and find the best way to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Regardless of how similar it is to the last job. So,
yeah. Cause even if it's, you know, just your general maintenance, you know, check your stations, web the building, treat it, move on.
Yep.
You're still looking for other things and being on the lookout, especially during season, for those goddamn wasps that are coming through.
Yep.
Or anything else, or like that one little trail of ants that if you're not particularly looking, you're not gonna see it.
Yep, trying to not walk off the ends of decks. That's my patented move from the summer, yeah.
No, on Tuesday, like the perfect thing of like really needing to pay attention, Tuesday for some reason, we had like the outbreak of sugar annulates that just blew up from the ground. We were at one of our housing apartments, and they were like in multiple spots, and like we noticed them first. We're, you know, they're sugar ants, it's okay, whatever. Then we had one of the tenants notice it, and she's freaking out because they're termites, they're this, they're that. No, it's fine, you know. And majority of them were like across the parking lot, nowhere near building. Okay, I don't give a damn. But then like the last one that we saw where the tenant actually saw it, it was relatively close to the building. So we took care of that one. But then, so we were thinking maybe it was just there. I literally had one of my clients text me with a video of these elates coming up out of the ground going, I think something hatched. What is going on here? I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. And she's like, all the way around her house is concrete. There's no like actual grass or mulch or anything touching her house anywhere. So I was like, you're good. Your house has been treated. It's fine. You have your barrier. I said, if for some crazy reason they do come in, then let me know. I said, but I ain't worried about stuff that's out in your grass.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I did a lot of yard work. There was a ton of thatcher ants this year. Like, thatching ants everywhere. There was a solid 4 or 5 weeks where I think that's all I did. Just huge mounds. Not fun.
That's so
well,
cool.
Kind of fun. They're pretty neat, but
right? Like, yeah, what would you relate them to like closer to like another ant? Because I've never heard of thatcher ants.
I don't even know. They're like, so the ones that we have up here, they build this huge like central mound, which some of them that I treated this year, like I was probably 3 feet, and then there'll be 5 or 6 satellite mounds around it that are smaller, but just like tens of thousands of ants. Formic ants, so they're bitey, and they spray you with formic acid and give you awesome rashes if you do it wrong, but yeah, they're just really, really cool, though.
That's awesome. Yeah. So we don't have anything cool like that. We have sugar ants, and we have pavement ants.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
We get those too, for sure.
Well, yeah. I got the MODOK carpenter ants. Very rarely we get, what is it, Vicenna carpenter ants? I think that's right. That's how often we don't see them. I don't remember what the hell they're called.
But
we just had to treat carpenter ants in a stilt home. So the house is like 30 to 40 feet off the ground. So, yeah, that was fun.
Not for long.
Yeah. But no, like, so the lady, that she lives in a stilt home. She bought the neighboring stilt home. And it used to have, like, the carport they changed into, like, an indoor sauna. It literally had a sauna built inside, which I'm going, okay. And then, you know, carpet outside of it. Okay. But the lady that bought it, she does work for another place that we work for. So she called us. She's like, hey, so I just bought this house. There's a whole bunch of carpenter ants. Can you come check it out? And there's rodents. Brandon's like, yeah, sure, fine. He goes over there and there's like, he would say, I think he said it was probably close to like 200,000 honeybees going in and out of the side of this place. And he's going, what the hell? Yeah, so there were honeybees, carpenter ants, and rodents all living in unison. And we're like, Brandon's like, I can't do anything until
time for a new house.
Yeah, just throw the old one away. But she got, I guess, one of her neighbors down the street from where she lives as a beekeeper. So they literally ripped. It was one hive, but in like 3 separate sections. So it was like 2 hive sections like underneath like a sitting window, and then one of them like up above the sauna area. Oh, yeah, it was fun. And then, I don't know, man, but they got it all out, and there's, like, the remnants of the hive and the honey still in there. That shit stunk so bad. Like, putting my face down there to, like, look to, like, help Brandon treat and stuff, and I'm going, oh, my God. Like, why does this stink? But, yeah, so then we had to go in and finally treat for the carpenter ants. And luckily, they were ripping the carpet out of that room anyways. So she's like, yeah, whatever you have to do, just do. So we got to, like, literally cut the carpet up and throw it out. We're like, hell yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, we went and checked on it. Didn't see any more live carpenter ants. And
success.
It appears the rodents have started to die off as well. Because we had a big, huge, huge fat male Norway rat that had, like, I don't know, his back hips out, sticking out of one of our Evo tunnels. I mean, just a fatty. Like, bigger than that picture of the one that I sent you before, Jenny.
Yeah.
But yeah, big fat boy. And then there was three females caught up in the attic. We're going, okay.
Damn. You see rats way more than I do.
Yeah, we don't do them at all here. We've got so few that technically Alberta's called rat-free.
Yeah.
The government has their own team of pest controllers that's just there to deal with rats coming in on freightage and stuff like that. So, no rat work. No rat work. All mice and voles.
Lucky you, because rats are gross.
They get pretty funky.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. But.
So you,
yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So you started in March. So you had, like, the little bit of.
There was a little bit. Like, up here, March, there was still, like, a little bit of snow on the ground. So there was probably 2 or 3 weeks where it was still pretty chilly. But then it ramps up fast. Like, summer here is pretty short. It's really intense, but it goes quickly. So we kind of go from snow on the ground and not a whole lot of activity to everything hatches out. And it's just chaos overnight. So, I had probably I went back through all my pay stubs just for curiosity, and I had 3 weeks that I didn't work overtime right after I started. So I know it was 3 weeks that were pretty mellow getting onboarded, and then it just kind of went full season, and that's where we stayed right up until this week. And right now it's nuts. It's wasp season everywhere, right? So, it's been, the last couple of weeks have been just chaos. It's 5 or 6 wasp calls a day. Ants exploded again. Nuptial swarms everywhere. Just pretty full on. Yeah.
These end season hives. These are the ones I hate the most because they're so goddamn mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're spicy.
I had to take down a paper wasp hive this morning. No, not this morning. This afternoon. That I've already taken down once. Brandon took it down last month. And then the fucker was back again. And it's at one of my head starts where I can't just treat. But they've changed that head start from everyday school to just a, like, it's like a once a month socialization for the kids. So I called my IPM coordinator and I was like, look, this is the situation. It is super freaking active. They are mean. They're already, like, they were attacking me and I was nowhere near them. I was like, can I treat it? She said, yes, you can. I said, do I need to, you know, put up the paper saying that it's pesticide treated area? She's like, no, because it's not a, you know, full-time school. You're fine. I'm like, are you sure? Like, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble and fined and shit. She's like, no, treat it. Take it down. Cool.
Thank God. Yeah.
I was like, thank God.
Yeah, we had a lot of bald-faced wasps this year, more than I've noticed in previous years, not in pest control, but there's just lots of them, and they are a little angsty, those guys. They are fun to treat. The first one I had to do was a huge one relatively early in the season. It probably was 5 pounds worth of hive when I found it, so they got an early start, and it was under a deck. So not crawl space bad, but also we're not standing up. And so I got under there to treat it, and I went to spray it, and I just missed. I just did a shit job of it and pissed them all off. So there was me screaming and dancing around under there, just getting absolutely mobbed. client had a good time. Really enjoyed himself.
That's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Now, your bald-faced hornets go in the ground?
No. They're, it was under the deck, but it was, like, under the crawl space. They had built it hanging from the bottom of the deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking, like, in the ground. I'm going, that's crazy.
No. It was, hanging under the deck. So I had, like, 2 feet of clearance to get the wand underneath.
Fun.
I was just standing in an awkward position and sprayed the side of it, not the entrance, and they did not like that. They didn't care for it at all.
Yeah. That is not
We've only taken, I took one down for my mom, so that was a non-paying thing, and that was just 6 hours of my time to go drive there. But I got to visit family, so okay, that's fine. I took that one down, and I think Brandon took like an itty-bitty one that is like just starting, and I think that's all we've done for bald faces this year. It has been the paper wasp and the fucking yellow jackets.
Yellow jackets everywhere. And all of them in soffits this year. I keep finding like every other house has them in the soffits.
Yep, and I hate that because it's hard to get to them. And
yep.
They're stupid.
Dust was my friend this
year. Yes. That's something that Brad had to coach me on this year was that I wasn't using dust right away. Like, I just went 2 years of commercial where I didn't do a lot of yellow jackets. So, like, I was not utilizing dust like I should. Yeah. So, ever since I started using dust more, and it was, like, soffits.
Yeah, became my favorite tool on the truck really quick.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. It was what we had to do today, because it was the one we did today, which we usually dig them out, take them, you know, so then the nest is gone.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about it. But this one, it was at a different one of our housing apartment complexes. And it's like they built right next to the freaking like retaining wall. So it was like right next to it. Like, wall, here they are.
Yeah.
So last month we found them. Brandon dug it out a little bit. Neither of us had a bee suit on us, so he had to be super fucking careful. So he dug it out just a tiny bit, you know. He had his gloves on him for whatever reason, but not the suit. And, like, dug it out a little bit, poofed in some Delta dust. They all came flying out, you know, looking like cokeheads because they're all white. But, so we're watching them. Okay, they're whatever. And never, you know, told the lady at that unit, you know, hey, you might want to stay away for a little bit. But we went back today to just go do their normal service. And Brendan's like, well, let's go check on those, make sure they're gone. You know, I don't know, since we didn't actually get to take the hive. And we walk over there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're gone, because you can still see a little bit of the Delta dust sitting there. No, they weren't. They just decided to come out a different hole right next to it. So he goes and grabs his Delta dust, and just poof, out come all the crackheads again.
Yep.
Yep.
I love that.
It's so funny watching them fly around.
It is.
You're white.
You know you got them.
Yep. Yes, or in the soffit, up in the soffit, when they just, like, fall out white. Oh, God.
It's raining. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, that was mine today with the wasp freeze. Like, I try not to use it a whole lot because it does stain and whatever. And I swear the cans, like, only come half-filled with propellant anymore in them. But this one, I just wanted it dead. I was tired of effing around with it. You're dying. So I sprayed because it wasn't even like an enclosed hive. So I sprayed it and just backed up. A couple of them flew off. About six of them just dropped straight down. I stick my head back under the little eave to look at them. And the hive's still sitting there with like seven of them just like frozen in time. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's called wasp freeze for a reason.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Didn't use that at all. Actually, don't even know the product, so
it's not sure it's we have really it good. Here. It really is, but it does stain because it's oil based. And yeah, like all this year, like I'm not even joking. It seems like the propellant only pushes out about half of the can before you have nothing left, and because you're supposed to get like a 15-foot stream with this damn thing, so it pushes the propellant out, and it's awesome. But when you're shooting one that's, you know, up in an eave on in a soffit or something like that, and the propellant dies and it goes from this real strong stream to bloop,
You get a nice streak down the siding.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, then it only shoots like 3 inches out of your can, and you're like, yay.
Yes. Right.
And you shake the can, and it's still completely full. You're like, okay.
Oh, damn. And yeah. I'm sure they're not cheap.
No, they're not. They're not cheap at all. So I've been looking for alternatives. The best one that I found so far, unfortunately, is the Ecovia Wasp and Hornet Spray. Because in very loose label, considering it's Ecovia. And it's a foaming one, so it does take a little bit longer to kill them. It's not an instant knockdown. It's not a residual either, obviously. It's Ecovia. But it's really, really fun to watch them foam up and then sit there and try to flutter and fly away, and they can't because they're just this ball of foam. It's about 5 to 7 seconds from the time you hit them for them to drop dead.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not instant like wasp freeze, but it does work. And then, because like I treat a firehouse that they have an old, what is it? It's an old tender sitting there. And I mean, it's like old school old. But it sits there and it does nothing and it sits in the sun. So they constantly get paper wasp inside of it. I'm like, I'm not putting wasp freeze in this thing.
Yeah.
So I just go to town with my Ecovia on that. I'm like, yeah, die.
Yes. So one thing about my first season in pest control was that I was not prepared to labor in the sun, so I became a lobster. how did the sun treat you up there?
Yeah, couple light burns, but I just turned that special color a Trump orange real quick and stayed that way until the end of August. Yeah, I should have planned ahead this time and done the Celsius conversions, but
Had
heat of the summer. We were up around 38, 40 degrees C. I'm gonna do the conversion because I'm curious. I think that's more than 100, but let's see.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think it was like upper 80s, mid 90s.
38 C to F. 100 on the nose. So that's kind of where we were set for 6 or 8 weeks, I think. It was pretty nasty, but pretty militant about hats and sunscreen because I just don't need that. I know I'm going back out there tomorrow. I don't want to do it burned.
Yeah.
So the bigger issue is dehydration.
Yes.
And like my last job, I was in an office for almost a decade, so it was definitely, we were shifting gears real quick trying to remind my body what working felt like.
Yes.
Definitely yes. Some holding myself together with like kinesiology tape and joint braces by the end of the season.
Oh yeah. Yes. I remember doing that for Brandon his first season. He had knee braces, ankle braces, he had the shoulder brace, he had 2 elbow braces. Like the only thing that wasn't braced were his fingers, but yet those were just taped because he kept breaking them.
me and the other, there's one other tech that got hired with me, who had a little bit of previous experience. He had 6 months before he came on. He and I worked really well together. We met at the warehouse one morning about a month ago and just started laughing at each other because we both crawl out of our trucks like we're 100 years old. Just kind of shuffle our way in to get our stations. It was a little embarrassing, but here we are. We survived. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure my other half is really ready to stop listening to me whine about everything hurting when I get home. So,
yeah. And it does get better as the seasons and the time goes on. You start remembering to like stretch a little bit in the morning, especially if you know you're going to be packing, you know, a bunch of heavy stuff or having to, you know, get in some weird, crazy position so you can look underneath the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, it does get better.
Yeah, yes. And this season was intense, too. Like, I think this was a little bit extra compared to what I would expect, like, next season. Because the company that I was with was Donnie and Marie. And they hired a fleet of door knockers this year that was, you know, give them credit where it's due. They were out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were doing, for, like, 3 straight months, I think my biggest day was 16 setup appointments, like initial appointments in a day.
Jesus.
And so we were.
That's epic.
Between, I think my longest day was 13 hours, and I was averaging 10 to 11.
Ouch.
Pretty much from June until this week. So.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's crazy. I don't think it's like that everywhere all the time. I think that was a bit of an anomaly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. It's like I'm obviously able to set my own schedule, so I usually don't work past like 3:30 or 4. Just because it's like, you know, my son's off of school at 3:10, and if we're not in town, my oldest can go pick him up. Big whoop. Or he can walk home. It's like a mile.
Yeah.
And he'll be able to drive here soon, so whatever. But I try to be home at a normal hour, and sometimes it doesn't work. But usually I am. But when Brandon was working for other companies previously, I remember getting up with him at like 4 in the morning. He would be out the door before 5, usually about 4:45. And then we wouldn't see him again until sometimes like 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And this is when my children were young. Because he started like 10 years ago, so they were, what, almost 6 and 9? Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, where's dad? Why doesn't dad ever get to eat dinner with us anymore?
Yeah, that was hard this year. Like, my daughter's 11, and for a little while we were working weekends too. Like, busiest part of the season, I worked a 21-day stretch.
Ooh.
Just because the workload was crushing, right? And, not meant to sound like I'm special or better, but we had techs just dropping out. Like, guys were getting dehydrated and heat stroked, and, you know, there was only like 3 of us left when it was really, really busy who were out there doing it. So just had to be done. But it got old really fast because it was exactly that. I'd be gone before everybody was out of bed. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I'm getting home, it's like, well, it's bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So I'm there just in time to brush our teeth, exciting stuff, right? Yeah, so, yeah, it's one of the appeals to me of the idea of, like, going the independent operator route in the future is not doing that. You know, the whole goal of the career change for me was a little bit of work-life balance. We were expecting our second in December, and I, like, really want to be home for the kids. It's one of the appeals, so. Won't be doing another season like that. I definitely feel educated to push back a little sooner and a little harder if I end up in a company that's going to run me like that again.
Yeah. That's like, I know Jenny just got done working for a big box where she was working, you know, hours upon hours upon hours, and trying to squeeze in a time to record this was getting so hard. And then she moved to Trio. Yay. So excited. Yeah. And now she doesn't work the weekends, so I specifically told her that we will record during the week. Weekend is for her kids.
Yeah,
absolutely no recording. I even message her very minimally on a weekend because I don't. It's not my time. That's her family time, not for me. Unless it's like something crazy or like something super funny that I need to tell her, I won't message her. Because it's, you got, like you were saying, you have to have that work-life balance. It's too much work. It's okay, it gets, so you made all this money. Yay?
Hooray. Now what? Now what? Yeah. Can't do anything with it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your family gets to go use it and you go, you know, buy cool things or go to cool places while you're not doing anything but making more.
Yeah. And that's, okay. And like, that's even the other side of it is it's all this money except that I make 60% less than I used to make no matter what, because I went from being kind of top of my career to starting at the bottom somewhere else. So it's like, it's not even really based on what we're accustomed to as far as lifestyle and what we have available to us. It wasn't even, didn't even feel like making really good money, right? It was just earning, right? It was, it was enough. It wasn't nothing, but and I've got a meeting next week, I think, with a manager at a company where I'm interested in them because of how they run their schedule. So they assign you all of the clients you're going to work. They dump your month on you and you schedule it.
That's how Brandon's first company was.
Yeah, that's so I'm hoping that goes, because I would love to just work 3 heavy days and then take an extra day or two off. You know, like I don't mind working the 12s. I just don't want to do them 6 days a week. So
yeah,
fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. And like with Trio, I get weekends off, and typically my last job is not scheduled past 4 o'clock. And sometimes I might get back later than that, but it's either A, because I'm slow, or because I had a 45-minute drive back to where I'm staying. So it's like, you know, so the work-life balance is amazing.
Yeah.
It's yes.
Good for the mental health, for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your whole demeanor, personality, everything. I mean, you've always been, like, the fun, goofy one, you know? But, like, ever since you've been with Trio, it's just ramped up. You can just tell it in just, like, the way that you speak, the way that you hold yourself, everything, that you were just mentally more happy, you know?
And it's a hugely part that my boss is just an incredible human, and he has so much faith in me to be able to market his business and be goofy on Facebook and stuff. And I'm speaking of being goofy, I'm really sad because at the AAC convention I went to, they had really fancy port-a-johns, and I forgot.
You didn't get to go grope one.
I forgot to make a video of me harassing it.
That video was epic.
It would be highly inappropriate because of the whole convention on, like, make your next $1 million and stuff, and it was all, like, owners and stuff, and I'm over there, like, harassing the poor dog.
That sounds on brand, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
You saw that video that she made, Dylan, didn't you?
I absolutely did.
God, that shit was hilarious. It was so funny. I was, like, dying when I was watching that. And Brandon's like, because he could hear it, but he couldn't see it. He was like, what in the hell is Jenny doing? So I had to restart it and bring my phone to him. I'm like, look. God, that was great.
That's part of my happiness being with Trio, is that I'm not like, oh, I would totally take a video of this, but my red diamond's in the view, or, you know, or my whatever.
Or you have to sit like this and hold and cover
it. Yeah.
I've definitely,
like,
go ahead, sorry.
Then, like, my boss see it, because I have my bosses from those companies on my Facebook, and be like, you were supposed to get 18 jobs done today, but you only got 12, and it's probably because you made this funny video.
Yeah, but I've definitely got a few things that I've posted where my branding is in view, but oh well.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Some companies aren't going to care.
My numbers kind of speak for themselves, you know.
Exactly. Yep. That's like, Bill even lets me, like, literally market. Like, I've been doing the Ladybug Trio pest control thing, and I'll film me doing, you know, being professional and stuff. So the amount of faith he has in me to uphold his brand, but also be goofy. Like, I would never make anything that if a client found it, I would, like, ruin his business's reputation or whatever.
Yeah.
But the big box companies are just so peculiar. How do you say that word?
Peculiar.
That
they're just picky.
They really are. And something might set them off, like, you know, that's inefficient. I'm sorry, I had fun for 2 seconds. Damn.
Yeah.
My bad.
In lieu of lunch break. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. I never really actually take a lunch.
No, who does, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And some snacks in between.
Right.
Exactly.
I just saw a port-a-john I wanted to sexually harass.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Especially as a female, because, I mean, like, those are, like, golden. You know they're clean, you're just like, oh, thank God. Yes.
Yeah, that's that. I think I can pretty accurately describe about a third of my summer as driving the shortest possible line 15 clicks over the speed limit to try and get to a gas station bathroom that I knew I wasn't going to want to use, but
yep.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Some close calls.
Yep. Yep. It's scary.
So what were your favorite kinds of services to do? Because, like, I know you said you guys don't do, or you don't have rats.
No, we don't have rats, and we, like, my company doesn't do bed bugs. So I didn't do any bed bugs, which I have mixed feelings about. Like, happy to not do them because they're gross and terrible. But also would like to know how to do them, at least. But most of what I dealt with was stinging insects and voles. Lots of voles.
Yeah, so that's like your main rodent up there then.
It is, yeah. They're everywhere. And we had a really mild winter last winter. So they're just everywhere this summer. Usually over the winter, the population stays pretty stable.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to spring this year and nobody had a lawn left. Just toast. So, yeah, that's what we were dealing with most, I'd say. And a lot of people are really angsty about it because we hit spring with the same population of voles that you're usually dealing with at the height of summer. And so we're kind of pedaling uphill for a lot of it. And it was a bit of a grind to get things under control for a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, like lots of ants. We talked about thatching ants. I saw thatching ants everywhere this year. Because my branch treats the city I live in, but also all of the rural communities and smaller towns around us.
Yeah.
So like my routes any given day were within, I would say, an hour and a half of where I live. And a lot of those had tons of ants. Lots of carpenter ants this year. But yeah. Ants and wasps, I think, is pretty much most of it.
Now, have you guys or did your branch deal with cockroaches? Or do you guys even have them up there?
We have them. We don't do them.
You don't do them? Okay.
No.
Like, what?
So,
which ones you have up there?
German?
Just, yeah. See, that's just me. Yeah. That's like me. I have German roaches. Like,
yeah.
A little bit further east of us, like off the coast, where it's a little bit warmer, we'll get Orientals.
As far as I know, it's mostly German up here. But we don't do any commercial, and we don't see a lot of... Sorry, my dogs go off periodically, so if you hear the tippy-tappies, it's just dogs running around. We don't do any commercial at this company, and we don't have a lot of residential roach issues. Like, you have to be in a pretty nasty place before you see them. And even then, like, I did some houses this summer that were, they're going to stay with me. And no roach issues.
Really,
really bad mouse infestations. And, like, what else did I deal with? This got me thinking now. Larder beetles, tons of larder beetles, carpet beetles, cluster flies. So we get quite a bit going on, but nothing as gross as, like, a bad roach infestation. Restaurants only, but I tell you what, some of the restaurants are gross.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. I've seen a lot of them. Now, when I worked for Donna Marie, we also didn't do cockroaches. I wonder, and this is something we'll totally have to follow up with you on, is if the next company you go to, if you end up, because, like, Donnie and Marie, I knew my region had cockroaches. It was just that they weren't willing to invest in their people to train them to do them slash give us the products for it.
That's exactly what it is. And I feel this round, because they fired me, work shortage, just need to reiterate that given us talking about how much we were working.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a little bit less worried about offending someone now. That's 100% all it is. The only guy, there's two guys in the branch who have the experience to do it. One is the branch manager, and one is my colleague that I worked quite a bit with. And the branch manager has no functional management responsibility. his training doesn't exist. His ability to do anything outside the scope of what his bosses have told him the investors approve of doesn't exist. And they won't increase service intervals. Like, I had to cheat the system for rodent infestations to make sure that I could get back in three or 4 weeks at a bad site to check things out. Otherwise, too bad. We're going to fucking leave you here for 3 months. There will be no bait left. There's no traps.
Yeah.
Good luck, I guess.
Yes, so, like, that I actually is had Donnie to break Reed.
I actually had to break the rules and, like, coach customers into how to play the system to get me back.
Yes.
And it ended up, honestly, it's part of what ended up getting me fired, is there were so many customers that were now calling them and being like, we won't let your techs on site. We want Dylan to come back and do it. We have a whole plan. So we're going to keep our contract, but he has to come back. And they just decided it was easier to fire me than to change their service arrangement with those particular contracts.
That's so dumb.
It's a bizarre business decision, but you know what? Not my company. You can do what you want.
Exactly. You will find better.
But yeah, I know, like, there's them and there's one other company that does the kind of preventative, we're going to show up to rich people's houses, do a barrier spray, de-web, and get out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else that I'm aware of in the region does roach and bed bug and the whole works. So I'm specifically looking for companies now that kind of do the full gambit, get out, do some commercial, maybe some bird work. Because I just want to expand the resume as much as I can. I'm studied up for two more licensing exams. I think we talked about licensing a little bit. It's a little bit different up here. The classes seem to be a little bit different in terms of what they cover, but I'm ready to write two more. So I'm hoping that the next company I go to will be willing to just pay the licensing fees and send me to go write, because I'm ready to go. That was kind of the next step, as I was supposed to be writing those once we slowed down. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out and doing a little bit more.
Just building
out the skill set. Like, after this summer, I'm definitely confident that there's nothing I'm going to run into that I can't do. Because it didn't take me very long to realize there was no professional support from management. Because nobody can answer a question. There was no service managers out inspecting sites. So that's why I ended up going on to the Facebook groups and starting to dig for some information and figure out. Because there was just a smell about the services. It was like, it can't be this. If it was this easy, nobody would need pest control.
Yeah.
Like, there's something we're not doing right.
Yeah.
And so started to put those pieces together. And, like, fortunately, it was a busy enough season that I saw a little bit of everything I could see, given what we were servicing, and was able to kind of piece it together myself and figure out what good pest control should look like. And I was able to shoehorn a lot of that in. And at least as far as, like, you know, well, my company doesn't trap. But I was at least able to do the exclusion work and then coach the clients through, this is what I've got out for bait. This is what it's going to do. And here's what I need you to do.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, my success rate was really good by, I would say, 2-3 months in. I was starting to have a lot of customers reaching out being like, hey, we don't see mice anymore.
That's the goal.
Right. So,
it was a good learning summer, right? Like, it was.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was as busy as it was in some ways, because the limited scope, it means I got put in front of more stuff, more opportunities to see different situations, more learning.
Yes.
And part of what I like about this job is it keeps me learning. It keeps me. I don't get complacent with it, because it's always just different enough to keep my ADD brain interested. So.
Yes. And I think it's really cool that you and I both had our first seasons in that Donnie and Marie environment, but in separate countries. Yeah. But it's so similar.
So, like, similar,
I'm hearing you talk, and I'm just like, yes. And the only super positive that came from me starting in that environment is that they did a lot of, in our meetings and stuff, at least in mine, they did a lot of, like, customer role playing and stuff, because they wanted you to sell more services.
Yes.
So they wanted you to get really good at talking to the customer and learning their 5-step process and all this crap. But it really broke me out of my shell to be a really good customer service person. So then all the technical stuff came later when I moved on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Customer service is so much of it. Like, I think that's part of the reason I was able to hit my stride so fast is that I had the customer service. So the customer work was never stressful. Like, so many of the guys that got onboarded around the same time, like, just for scope, they had two permanent techs when they hired me. And in my group, they hired four of us. And then the next hire was another six guys, I think. Like, they just scaled up really, really fast because they grew faster than they thought they would. But so everybody was new.
And nobody
had customer service experience. And so a lot of these guys were really struggling and are still, like, 7 months in. A lot of these guys are still just grinding it out every day, trying stuff out, hoping for the best, and really not enjoying it. But because I had that customer service piece already, and it didn't stress me out, I was really able to drill down on the technical stuff. And put my focus into figuring out kind of the nuts and bolts of the job. The rest of it kind of feels like cheating, honestly. I kind of feel like I coasted through the learning curve that a lot of these guys dealt with.
That I kind of had that, but like I had a background in customer service, but I wasn't confident because, I don't know, I'm a 4'9" female who didn't know pest control. So standing in front of this burly man I'm supposed to be killing his bugs for, I just, I don't know. So learning the customer service side of pest control was a little bit of a learning curve for me. But I got
that makes sense. Like, that's barriers I don't have to deal with, right? I have that male privilege thing of showing up on site and just immediately being taken seriously. So
yeah, I felt awkward starting pest control. I don't know. But you
know, I completely understand that because it's like I had customer service to a point. I mean, you know, working in food, working in retail, I used to work at a call center. I mean, I had customer service to a point.
Right.
But being at someone's home and telling them, hey, I need to kill your bugs.
I'm going to kill stuff for you.
Yeah, I'm going to kill stuff for you? Well, how are you going to do it? Hold on. Because I kind of threw myself into this because I was just going to be the office. But I also wanted to know what was going on so I could make, you know, the right call and not, you know, tell somebody, oh yeah, Brandon can do that for you. And he calls me and goes, what the fuck did you promise these people?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I started working against myself a little bit to buy myself time because the office really wanted everything prepped. We want you to mix in the morning, you know, pick which chemicals you think you're going to spray, mix up enough that you've got several services ready. They just wanted everything ready to go. I stopped doing all of that and I just was like, talk to the customer, figure it out, just in case there was something that I was going to draw a blank on. I was like, okay, I'm going to go get ready, go get set up, furiously Google while I am pretending to mix chemicals. And, you know, for the most part, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, I don't do, like, the pre-mixing stuff because at one site, I'll have to use one chem. At the next one, they're having a completely different issue. I need to use a different chem.
Yeah.
I mix what I need for said location. Sometimes a little bit more because, oops.
Yeah.
But it won't be, you know, a 4-gallon backpack and I mixed all 4 gallons for 1,000 square feet worth of service. And then I'm like, oh, well, now I'm stuck with these 3 gallons and I have to go use it.
Yeah. After I started doing that a little bit because after a few months, I started to recognize the areas really well. And so I could at least look and be like, oh, man, all of these houses are going to be siding right to the ground, and they're going to be spider heavy, so I can make an educated guess. And they gave us flow zones, the 2-gallon flow zones, so I could mix small batch and, you know, do a couple houses worth at a time so that I didn't end up with extra, generally speaking. So worked it out eventually, but, yeah, I discovered really quick that not having anything prepped and just going to do 10 minutes of prep bought me some time to do a little kind of MacGyver research and figure out the problem real quick.
Well, and even if you don't need to do any type of research, like you already know, you know, what it is you're after, exactly what you need to use to kill it, that 10 minutes worth of prep of, you know, getting your backpack ready, making sure you got your gloves on and extra gloves with you just in case, whatever, whatever. It's that, like, mental reset from having to be inspector to now being treater.
Let your brain rest and stand in the breeze at the back of the truck for 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, thank God. No, any type of little breaks, like, we'll have house, you know, here, two blocks over, the next house is there. We'll intentionally go, like, the long way around. Just to have a break for a second.
Yeah, a lot of my routes... A lot of my routes this summer weren't clustered like that. I might have two nearby, but it was pretty normal to have like a 20 or 30 minute drive in between services. So there was at least a lot of highway time with the windows down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, do you have to, or do you pre-mix before you go, Jenny? Or do you do it as needed per service?
As needed per service, unless like... Now that I've been at TO kind of long enough that I have monthly services that are like restaurants and stuff, and I can look ahead and see what I've got, my rotation, and I might mix like my B&G ahead of time or something, but for the most part, like residentials and stuff, I'll wait until I get there and see what I got going on and stuff, because I'm a big in on making sure there's a rotation of products. I don't like if I look back in the history and see like suspend four times, I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
That's something I noticed a lot this summer, that it pisses me off, and I don't know why it pisses me off so much, but I would start going back to resurface some of these places, and I would look back through the history and just guys only ever use one chem. There's guys that have been spraying Dragnet for 7 months and that's all they use. I'm like, but we got seven things on the truck that all do different things and are applied for different, like, you're not looking, right? Like, you're not looking at the house.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's that complacency. I know this chem. I know that it does this. I'm familiar with it. I like how it works. Spray it all year long, whatever.
It's probably the only part of it I didn't enjoy this summer as far as working. It's just like, it got really paint by numbers for the entire crew. Like, dudes were just doing their bare minimum. The same way every time. And then I ended up being the tech who got sent out, me and one other guy, to go fix all of those. And so then it's like a more complex problem to solve. I had an interior ant job that's my favorite one from the summer, where it was bad. And Buddy went in and he did an interior spray with, I think he used Polyzone. So he did a Polyzone spray inside and then went and baited it with OptiGuard. I got called back 3 weeks later and they're like, we still have a ton of ants. And I walked it back and I was like, I'm going to continue to have a ton of ants because I'm not allowed to do a whole lot about this. And he decided to spray. So he's killing them before they get the bait back to the colony. I can't wash it off for you. Sorry, like you gotta wait him out.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just lack of thought, and I don't know. Like, those are the problems I like to solve. Is it's the best way to get at it with the least amount of stuff.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Make everybody happy and save some product.
That's what we're supposed to do. Yeah.
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 I've been brought up very IPM, least amount of chemical possible.
Yeah.
You know, any other way possible. So, yeah, like, seeing, like, some people, like, on lots of different Facebook groups where they're like, oh, I did this and this and this and this and this and this and I'm still having a problem. How? Like, toxic shock syndrome, what are we doing?
Yeah, I got
Jesus!
I got in trouble a lot for my service times, too, because they book 40 minutes for everything. A service is 40 minutes. So I'd get out to these big interior jobs where it's like a 3,000 square foot ranch house. It's mouse infested. And like, you were there for 2.5 hours. Like, yep. And I spent two of it doing exclusion. Right? Like,
I don't
know how to make that go faster. Sorry.
Yep.
Crawl spaces are crawl spaces. And I can only move so fast in there.
Yeah.
Facts. Yep.
Now I have a few crawl spaces. There's one that I have that I can crab walk through for a majority of it. And then I have a second one that it's, I don't know, like 12 to 14 feet high ceilings in the crawl space.
Posh.
I'm like, fuck yeah. Why can't they all be this way?
Yeah, the first one I had to do was nasty. It was like an army crawl situation. and they had a bad infestation. And I spent like an hour or so pulling corpses out of wall voids because they had had another company and they switched to us. And the other company did the same thing we did, which is they only bait. And so I was in there just hauling these things out. Bags of mouse goo. And I actually called my partner on the way home from that one. And I was like, just stay away from me when I get home. Like, I don't know if you're going to be able to smell what I can smell right now, but just in case. Right?
Oh, yeah. It gets stuck up in the nostrils.
Yeah, I will be
like,
going
bleh.
Straight to the shower. You might not see me tonight.
The best thing we have found for that is not even like the Vicks rub or anything like that. Is just like, I think it's Arm & Hammer. Yeah, Arm & Hammer, just saline spray. No medication, no nice. Nothing. Just saline spray the shit out of your nose, and it will rinse it. And it gets rid of all that funky shit that gets stuck up there.
Okay, good to know, because like, I still sometimes, I'll like, if it's a hot day and people are bringing their garbage out, you catch a little whiff of garbage, it's like... Oh.
No, we've left many like bad rodent infestations where it's like you're driving away and you're going... What the hell?
Yeah.
You're like, why do I still smell it?
Truck on the highway with the windows
down. Yeah. So we, like, both of us have a saline spray in our car, plus I have one at home. That's why I was looking this way. But yeah, it's Arm & Hammer Simply Saline, because that's all it is. It's just salt water. We have one at home for the kids if they get, you know, dried noses and whatever. And because, like I said, it's not medicated, so you can use it all day long if you want to. But you will start to taste salt eventually.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm going to give that a shot because I landed on Vicks and it gets a little complex with, there's a lot going on here for Vicks.
I bet.
No, you're going to smell it when you're in there.
Yeah.
It's not,
no, that's,
you,
it is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, once you leave, just like lean over, plug one of your nostrils and just and then
like
snort
it
up, spit it back out. Like I said, you're going to taste all the saline and shit in the back of your throat, but it goes away.
It's better than
drink
smelling
water.
Dead mice for the rest of the day.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Dead things are not fun.
No. Yeah, we had one where we don't use any type of rodenticide inside at all. In any of our places, there's been very few and far between ones where we've done like a bait line, but it was like at this huge car warehouse. It was like a mechanic shop, but they had this like, you know, 20-foot wall void where they were having rodents, and I'm like, I can't put a snap trap down there. I can't reach it.
Yeah.
So we just did a bait line and dropped it down there, screwed it up at the top so we could just pull it back up. To see if there was any activity. Oh, yeah, it works great. And it's still technically secured and everything, out of the reach, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all legal. But we're doing this one rodent job recently where we sealed off entrances, have snap trap tunnels and stuff on the outside, have snap traps up in the attic. No rodenticide around this property at all. Not a piece. And so the guy calls me and he's like, oh, well, I noticed that you sealed off their entrance. So are they just going to start dying in the walls now? And I'm like, how? How are they dying in the walls? He's like, well, won't they just like die in the wall? I'm like, from what? There's no rodenticide there. Yeah. I said, the only thing that's going to kill them is the snap traps. But snap traps are too big to fall down into your wall voids. So you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, of course, my explanation wasn't good enough for him. So when we show up to check everything, he had to ask Brandon the exact same question.
That's gotta
and then
be
Brandon
frustrating
gave him
as
the
hell.
Exact same answer. It really is. And I just, and it's, it, it yeah. And it's always older guys that do it. It's like, they do not believe me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand I only have not even half the experience that Brandon has, but since he's been my trainer, I mean,
I'm doing it the same way. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, dude.
And I got to have the opposite conversation with a bunch of customers because the company I was with only baits. And so rodenticide all over the outside of the house, rodenticide all over the inside of the house. Most of the techs don't do any exclusion. So you're just on this hamster wheel of inviting rodents inside to murder them and have them melt in your wall voids. And it's so fucking gross. So fucking gross. So I got really, really gnarly about doing the exclusion for them at least. kill them outside if we can. And, yeah, I did a couple of big ones where I had to have the conversation with them where I'm like, you've got a big problem, and I can kill them, but I can't come back and remove them because they're not going to let me take, you know, any drywall off. They're not going to let me do anything structural.
Right.
So start right now, please, planning. Here's where your nests are. Find someone that you want to work with to get it removed. Because in 3 weeks, your house is going to smell like a meat processing plant gone wrong. You know? I don't know. They were appreciative that I told them, but boy, were they not happy with not having been told that at the time they purchased the $800 worth of service, where they were promised all their problems would go away.
Well, I mean, the problem will go away. You're just going
to
get a new one.
We're
going
to make you a new one, yeah. And then I'll be back to treat your larder beetles.
Yeah, and the flies.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I used to service a slaughterhouse for swine or pigs, and that place smelled really fucking bad.
Yeah. My branch manager used to do a lot of slaughterhouses. Part of his commercial gig at the place he was before, and he busted out some pictures, and I was like, no, I'm
so
good.
Gross, man. Like, I was damn near a vegetarian after that. Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
But I'm a fatty. I love reading.
No, I got that way last summer with peanut butter, just smelling like dead rodents
and peanut butter. Yeah.
Inside of an Evo station because it's gotten hot. And I'm like, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
This summer wasn't as bad, and I don't know why. Like, I was like super hungry for something, but I had to get going, so I just like scooped a spoon of peanut butter and was eating it. And Brandon's like, "Oh, you can still eat peanut butter? How cute!" You. I'm trying not to think about it. Okay.
Yeah, this is a focused task.
Yeah. It's like I was just like starving, and I'm like, okay, I need something super quick. Hey, look, protein, salt, all the stuff, whatever. Peanut butter, raw.
Yeah.
But oh god, yeah. Like for the longest time, I'm like, even just like Jude wanting like a peanut butter sandwich or something, I'm just like spreading it on there, going.
Oh no. Yeah, me and my kids call that a peanut butter spoon.
Yes.
They'll be like, "Can I have a snack?" And I'll be like, "Sure. What do you want?" And they'll be like, "How about a peanut butter spoon?"
See, I'm not a fan of peanut butter to begin with, so it's a double whammy. Not into it.
Yeah.
My other half of my kid, peanut butter and apple slices. It's the snack, but nope, I'm out. I'm just out. I'm extra out on peanut butter now.
Yes. Yeah. I remember I used to eat peanut butter and green apples. That was the shit. That was so good.
Yeah, people like that, I guess.
Yeah.
How about apples and caramel? Can you do apples and caramel?
Oh, I get anything in caramel. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair. Okay, good. We don't have to kick you out.
Perfect.
That's great. So, Candace, yes. Real quick, do you have your 20 things on Tumblr?
I do. I have one of them. My very, very cute, simple one. That's just family pest control. And the beautiful Paula, always with us in spirit.
Yes.
She's our pest control mama.
You know what? I wonder if she even listens to us and realizes how many times she gets brought up.
But I have no idea.
I love you, Paula. So, either way.
These are from Tony Spangler at SpanglerArt.com. Him and his wife, Leanne, do an amazing job. Rubber bottoms, double wall insulated. I actually brought a clean one. Look at that, it's clean.
That's what's up. I keep mine on my desk. It's like a souvenir.
Yeah. Jeez. But, SpanglerArt.com. Tony's amazing. He can do anything you can think of, anything that you can't think of. Just give him a very basic idea. He'll figure it out for you. He's got some awesome designs. They have pre-made ones. They have ones that you can design yourself.
Yeah.
Amazing guy, amazing lady at SpanglerArt.com. If you can think it, as I'm going to say from TFC, TC, Tony can make it.
That's what's up. Yes. Thank you so much, Tony and Leanne, for making amazing products for us.
They are awesome.
And next week, Candace, I believe we're doing the testing episode.
Yes. CEUs, testing.
Yeah.
All your horror stories and or good stories.
Fair.
Ow.
Yes.
Dog's beating me up, sorry.
I'm excited to go over that one just because I just failed a test. I was 6 questions off from passing my termite, so I get to take it again in a month.
That's so weird to me that you have to wait so long.
October 31st is when I take it again, and by God, I'm going to pass. Or
you should have been able to take it on the 30th, and it would have been good luck from me and Brad.
I know, right? Well, if I don't pass this time, I'm burning the city down. So,
okay. Happy Halloween, bitches!
Because I had to go to a class for that one and everything. I was so disappointed when I did not pass it. Especially 6 questions away.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a 100-question test, or... the 90-minute test, I don't remember how many questions, but it was a lot.
Yeah. They're usually about 100.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so we want stories of all over, because everybody's testing is different from state to state, from country to country.
Yeah.
How you have to test, how long it takes you to get your results, because I know even here in the United States, some of us get them immediately, some of them have to wait a few freaking weeks, because they do the... whatever stupid things that we had to do in like high school. Fill in the bubble.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would make me crazy.
Yeah. They do that in Maryland. I know in Maryland they do it. And then you have to wait like 2-3 weeks to see if you even passed.
No, ours is digital. You get your results as soon as you hit finish.
Yep.
Oh. That's what happened to me too. And I was like sitting there like, don't cry, bitch. Don't cry.
I think it's harder, like, the closer you are to passing.
Yeah.
And then you don't. Because, like, my very first laws and safety test, I missed it by 1. 1 fucking question. I was so mad.
Did you immediately know which one you got wrong?
Well, like, I missed more than 1, but I needed to have, like, 70%. But I got a 69% out of the 100.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my fucking. God, I was so mad because I was so sure I was gonna get it because I'd studied, did the practice test, and I'm gonna get this. And then I was like, "You're fucking kidding me!"
So close, yep, so close. Yeah, this will be an interesting episode, that's for sure. And I'm super glad we moved to Riverside, and thank you so much, Dylan, for your patience with us and coming to record with us a second time.
No problem.
You deserve an honorary, like, Pestrogen star. Like,
I'll take my sticker. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, happy to do it. Happy to do good. It. Super fun. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of a good thing, too, because that video would have been hilarious with me constantly having to jump out of it because...
There was just a lot going on that first recording, really all around. Yeah,
there was. Yes.
Random people showing up to my house. My freaking dogs were.
I had
being
a 100
crazy.
Pound dog in my lap the whole time trying to.
That was funny because I saw his legs
every now and then, just a leg coming up. Yeah.
That's so cute. That was great.
Damn it! But yes, and one thing I said on the first recording is that. Listening to you talk about your experiences and stuff is so unique and special because I've trained a lot of technicians and you can usually tell the ones that are going to stay and the ones that are going to that just really hate the industry. And even if you don't end up staying in the industry, it's not because it wasn't for you. It's just because circumstances, you know, you got baby on the way and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, there's some people you meet or you train, and it's just instantly like,
nope.
They cut out for this shit.
Yeah.
But little things that you've said, just like just having fun figuring things out and stuff, it's really special.
I can, I, you were definitely making me a little weepy this week, especially with the firing and everything. So I really appreciate it. But like, I can definitely say pest control is not ever the career I was looking for. It's sort of the accidental career that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed it so much. Like, for me, it's not really, like, my partner teases me occasionally that I'm just too about it. So I know at this point, especially, that I don't want to stay in the big box kind of rut for too long. I know I want to go the owner operator route. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to farm the experience. And I think that's the way it's going to go. Cause I really, yes. really do enjoy the work, you know,
yeah.
even sometimes just being out and watching bugs do bug stuff, right? Like,
yes.
how often do you have an excuse to sit there and watch what a non-aggressive wasp colony is doing and watch
yes.
the foraging? And
mm-hmm.
you just don't, right? Nobody gets to make time to do that stuff, and it's fun. And now I get to get paid to do it, so I'm pretty okay with that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing that cracks me up the most about pest control and, like, asking people how they got started, it is literally, like, 99.9% of the time, it was, oh, I needed a job, and somebody had posted about it.
Yeah.
Like, nobody ever goes and, like, you know, graduates high school or college and goes, I want to be an exterminator.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into pest control. No, I don't know anybody.
Literally
even my
at
own
the...
children are going, eh.
Literally looked at the ad and went, well, that's different.
Yeah,
let's,
that's
let's
what my
give
husband
it a go,
said.
Right? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was working at a game store and got fired. For some random stupid shit that's neither here nor there, and was looking through Indeed and was like, oh, pest control, that sounds kind of fun. I like to hunt and track down mammals. Why not?
Yep.
Right. That AAC convention that I just went to, it was all about starting your own company and making your first million. That was the theme, right? And I met so many owner-operators there, and it is an incredible experience. But one of the speakers, who is crazy successful and an amazing woman, her name is Maria, she talks about how she took a break from pest control and worked in distribution, I believe, for Target. And while she built her business plan. And then a year into it, she had her business plan ready, and she fucking went for it.
Yeah.
And also, being a parent with little ones, I totally get where it's not, like, feasible all the time to just be like, I'm like, yeah. So,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the business plan portion is real.
Yeah.
If that's really what you want to do, I know you.
Yeah, I'm in the early stages of sketching out what that'll look like, just to get a sense for what it's going to cost me, what I need to expect as far as sort of, you know, that initial money drop, and then how long am I going to be working to get back into the black kind of thing. So it won't be overnight, and I also... I think I'm pretty smart and I learn quick, but I also don't have a ton of experience, right? So I don't want to dive into the deep end and hang my family's hat on it until
yeah.
I've done more.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely the way I'm going to go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, as an owner operator with, well, no prior experience prior to this, the best thing that I can tell you that Brandon has taught me is don't try to underbid everybody.
No, God, no.
Don't be that guy.
No.
Don't, you know, because obviously people are allowed to get bids for their services. I have no problem, you know. People try to hide that shit from me. I'm like, why do I care?
Yeah.
You're allowed to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're like, you know, I've had one, oh, the other company said that they can do it for 120. So what can you do it for? Well, I told you I'd do it for 150. So...
That's what I'll do it for.
Well, they're going to do it for 120. Okay, that's nice. That's
we'll,
them.
Yeah.
This
we'll
is
talk
me.
To you
my
in 3 months.
Price is my price. And then when you need me to come back, my price just goes up because
yeah.
now I got to deal with all their bullshit too. So,
yeah.
It is what it is. But yeah, do not undersell yourself. Sell you. People are going to be attracted to you and your personality and your know-how for what you're doing. Even if you don't have all the experience right now. I mean, I can go out and sell shit, and I have less experience than Jenny.
Yeah.
But you just, knowing that you can do it, and while you've been in sales, you know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the passion for this, you're going to be able to sell yourself amazingly.
Totally. And like, I know what I know how to do, right? That's the nice thing about being at the end of the season now, is I know that there's three or four things that even if, like, what my initial plan had been was to get the company set up and then to go part-time it.
Mm-hmm.
And just slowly build a book while I'm kind of 9 to 5 in it.
Yeah.
So that I can transition in. And yeah, I know the three or four things that I'm really good at this point, and I just do that.
Yeah.
Right? Let the other stuff come as it comes.
Yeah. And then, yes. Gabe from Coast to Coast. I'm listening to Coast to Coast from the very beginning. And Gabe, I believe he started with a company that only did moles. And then I've even talking to Mikey Sheridan. And there were certain parts of the business that he didn't know when he first got into it. It's kind of like, you start with what you know and you'll pick it up.
Well, it's like that gentleman that I met at the CEUs, he literally only does rodents. He does no treating, no treating inside for anything, no baiting for ants, nothing. He deals in strictly rodents.
We got a guy up here who makes a boom in business just doing bed bugs. That's all he'll touch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. I love
it. You go after what's your specialty, you know? Brandon is our rodent guy.
Yeah.
Like, if I have a bad rodent thing, I'm like, Brandon, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to find a place that'll let me do bird and wildlife work, because I really want to get the taste for it.
Yeah.
Because I think once I get to start doing stuff like skunks and raccoons, that's probably where I'm going to get stuck. That's, I think, what I'm going to enjoy the most, but...
Yeah. Yeah. especially if you like exclusion, because it seems like you take the time to really figure that out, so that's really cool.
I'm a video game completionist. I can't do something and not finish it. Makes me crazy. Yeah.
That's awesome. And your client is going to love you for that.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you think of anything else?
No. Thank you again, Dylan, for joining us.
My pleasure. Time around. Sorry for soaking up all your time.
No, we loved it. Thank you. I'm just tickled silly that you still wanted to come back and record with us, because when it kept saying processing, I'm like, no!
She's messaging me going, oh my god, how could this happen?
We love him.
You got to remember that it's work for you. For me, it's just sitting and drinking coffee while we talk shit. So,
that's kind of what we're doing.
Not hard for me.
That's why... like at that convention I went to and stuff, they list a bunch of pest control podcasts and stuff. Like, I understand that we aren't like a super technical podcast. We are, like Drew from Coast to Coast mentioned on Pest Perspectives, I think it was, that we are camaraderie. We are, me and Candace are here to be support for the people. We just want to have a good time with you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, after you nudged me towards the podcast, like, you guys and Tales from the Crawl Space just were in my ear all the time for the rest of the season, because that was part of what kicked me over into, oh, this isn't pest control. Like, people do this, take it seriously, there's a community, and it changed my mental game and kept me in the game a little bit when things were at their busiest and hardest there for a while, so I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. That was me with Tales from Crawl Space too. They got me through some hard summers. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Have
it was
a good
great
night.
Seeing you, Jenny, after 2 freaking weeks.
You as well. What's our end slogan, Candace?
Stay cute. Be weird and go out and kick some ass.
That's right.